Hello, I'm Dr. Pamela Brewer, and you are listening to Men's Monday here on Mind Talk, the show that provides you with relationship health and mental health information every day. On Men's Monday, we focus on all things for and about men. Certainly today we're going to be taking a look at something that has a great deal of both emotional and physical impact, which today's guest is going to help us take a look at. Now, whether you were voting for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, both sides agree that this most recent election cycle had all but taken over their lives, and the stress levels for many began to skyrocket. The American Psychological Association said 52% of adults who participated in their stress survey acknowledged that the presidential election was a big source of stress, and it didn't matter which candidate or which party one favored. I am very pleased to introduce today's guest, Dr. Ken Redcross, who is a board-certified internal medicine physician practicing in New York City. And you may wonder why we are talking to an internal medicine physician about stress on a mental health program. So, Dr. Ken Redcross, yes. Welcome to Mind Talk, and tell us why it's important for us to take a look at the physical and the emotional when it comes to stress.
Well, look, first of all, thank you for having me on, because I am excited to talk about something that is affecting all of us. And to your point, the fact that we had a pretty big election here that we're all grappling with. And the reason why it's so important that I wanted to be here today, even on the internal medicine side of things, is because your mental health impacts your regular health as well. So it's something that I have to deal with in my office every single day, because when you're dealing with stress, guess what? It affects your body as well, and that's exactly where I come in to make sure that we figure out how we can keep our patients healthy and whole.
Now, you are described as a physician who takes a holistic, integrative approach to wellness. And you're talking about stress, and certainly there are many situations where medical, particularly medical doctors, really don't have the time to talk to their patients about anything but symptoms and a prescription. So how is your practice different?
You know, it's interesting. My practice is different because it's about 2007 or so. It's like I always tease and say that I've seen the light because I realized that there were other ways of actually healing than writing a prescription. I also realized as well, not only is the patient-doctor relationship important, but so is the spiritual aspect of medicine as well. So it's one of those things that I think my style is really resonating now, because everyone is looking for something different than writing medications and so forth. And so with that, I've been able to evolve with the times to really focus on what I like to say is staying closer to the earth.
Now, when you say writing prescriptions is maybe not your first line of defense, perhaps, that's really kind of different from what insurance companies typically want. My bias, and it is my bias, is that insurance companies typically want you to write a pill and get it done.
Well, I'll tell you this. It depends on the disease state, to be quite honest, because it's interesting for me. I'm a Western-trained physician. I trained here in New York in Columbia, so I am Western-trained. But once again, I've seen the light, and I've realized that there's a way to marry both of them. So, for instance, for certain disease states like diabetes, I know that there's nothing better than what we have on the Western side of medicine to make sure that I'm taking good care of the patient. So there are things that we can use from the Western side of medicine that do require a prescription. But then again, there's some of the things that we'll even talk about today on the ways we can to use our diet and other ways to actually manage our stress that are actually something that you don't need a prescription for, and it's something that we can do naturally together. So there is a way to marry both of them, but the key is that you want to make sure the disease state that you're using has data behind it, and that's the thing that's important to me.
Well, let me ask you this. You heard me begin today's conversation with information about the stress impact of our most recent election on many people, no matter who they voted for, no matter what party they're in.
Right.
Why was it? What's your thought about why, just as a country, perhaps as a country, so many people experienced so much stress?
You know, because this is like an election like none other. You know, this is going to be a big change. This is going to be a big change in the way that it appears he wants to run things, and in the way people felt that maybe Hillary Clinton would have run things. So this is big change for all of us here in the United States. And guess what? One of the big challenges we have in our lives is really change. I mean, change and divorce and changing jobs and houses. Those are things that we know are typical stressors or psychosocial stressors, which I know you know all about. But when you're dealing with something as major as this, as the President of the United States, we all realize it's going to impact all of us some sort of way, and none of us really know where it's going to impact us and how as President-elect Trump tries to figure things out. And so we're all trying to patiently wait to see how is it going to affect us and our families. And that's very anxiety-provoking for a lot of us.
So it sounds like you're saying that the stress that folks were dealing with during the election, that stress that's still going on, perhaps in a different way. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I am. And it's okay. One of the things that, you know, we know the term is 4 years long. So this is something that is going to be important for everyone listening today to realize that some of the things that we'll talk about as far as some of these techniques, these are going to be things you want to work on and make a part of your life, because we know that things are going to be different for the next 4 years than we've all experienced before. And so we need to be ready. We need to figure out how we'll manage that and make sure that we stay healthy throughout, because being very anxious and very stressed can impact your health. And so if everyone really buys into what we talk about today, I think it'll be extremely important and to make this time, you know, of transition easier for all of us.
Well, is there such a thing as good stress and bad stress? People tend to think of stress as a bad word.
Well, you know, it's funny. I look at it on the flip side. I think people say stress as if it's so easier that you're supposed to have it. And I don't think so. I mean, I think you have to figure out some of the techniques that are going to make your life easier, to when stress isn't something that we just assume that we have to have. I try to really make sure that we talk about different techniques and ways for us to manage it, so we don't just think it's just something that we deserve to have as just being human beings, because I don't feel that way. I always tell them, think about a Buddhist monk. Do you think they're ever stressed? Absolutely not. It doesn't look like it to me, at least. And so if we think about some of the terms of what brings you inner peace, then I think we can actually avoid the stress. So I don't want us to think it's something that it's just we just have to have in our lives, because I don't think we do.
Well, let me ask you this. When we think about stress, most people, I would suggest, think about adults. An adult sort of mid-career, perhaps even ending career, going into retirement. Do children experience stress? Do seniors experience stress? Or is it just sort of that mid-range of existence that is more likely to be more stressed than not?
No, we all experience it. We experience it for different reasons, right? When we talk about those who are elderly and those who have lived their life and they're now maybe senior citizens, a different level of stress, because they're not only worried about their children, but they probably have grandkids as well, and they worry about what world is left for them. On the flip side, you have the younger adults, whether they be in their 30s or 20s and even some of the teens, and you see what's happening with them. They're the millennials, and the millennials are about purpose. And so when they're about purpose, they're very passionate. And so even they are more stressed out about, am I going to be boxed in? Am I going to be able to be creative and be the millennial way? And so it affects all of us, but this affects us differently. And that's the key thing when you talk about stress and anxiety. And that's why I love the fact that we're talking about this on the show now, because it's something that's really not talked about as a topic. And I think this is going to be really important so that everyone can say, you know, I didn't realize there were some ways for me to manage the stress. And the good thing is the things that we'll talk about today will be done or be okay for any age group. And I think that's the important thing here.
Talk for a moment, if you would, about children and teenagers. Are their lives stressful?
Oh, gosh. I mean, look at what they have. Number one, they have so many things that we didn't have. I'm going to give you my age here, but we didn't have all these smartphones and that sort of thing. And, you know, social media and those things are something that's really important to our youth now. They're really, you know, it's important to them how many likes they have, how many people go to their website. These are things that impact them. Society's changed. And so now that we're dealing with that, it's an extra layer of stress that they have to deal with that we didn't necessarily have to deal with. And so it's more and more pressure. And so it's important when we have these discussions to acknowledge it, number one. And then number two, let's figure out how we're going to, what we're going to do to manage it. Because believe me, there'll be another social media platform probably next month that'll once again cause more stress and anxiety potentially if you don't know how to handle it.
If not tomorrow, these social media platforms are popping up so quickly. It's amazing.
They absolutely are. And not only that, it's funny because you always wonder, how does everyone understand how they even work? Because they come so quickly. But you're right. And that's also a time crunch. And time is one of the bigger issues that causes stress for us, or the lack of time that we all feel that we have in our schedule. So it's almost like you're chasing your tail at some point. And so that's why when you're dealing with social media and the new things that are coming out, you got to figure out how we do it.
And, you know, as we're talking about social media, I'm also thinking about the fact that in today's world, there's almost no such thing as being able to, unless you do it with intention, completely unplug. You know, clearly in the old days, you went home and you didn't have your boss or your colleagues texting you, tweeting you, whatever. When you left school, you could go, school could be terrible, but in theory, you could go home and there would be some respite. But that's not the case anymore today.
No, it really isn't. I'm so glad you said the word intention. See, intention is important, and it's one of the techniques that I think we need to think about. So when I talked to everyone today, one of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to create sort of a stress reduction makeover, something that we all can do 15 minutes of our day. And when you say intention, you reminded me of one of the categories I wanted to talk about, and that was making sure that we as a society breathe deeper daily. I say that because that's the spiritual aspect that's so important in medicine and in my practice. There's some things that we could do to make that better. Number one, yoga. You know, studies show that with yoga, we're able to actually decrease the stress response, but not only that, increase the mood and the energy. So it's the perfect balance of relaxation and actually exercise. But something else that I love as well is meditation. Meditation I am hugely supportive of because not only does it decrease your anxiety and stress, but it increases your awareness, and your self-awareness is so important when you're realizing, what is my purpose in this world? What am I supposed to be doing here? Why does the good Lord have me here? And so those are the things that are so important for us to manage our stress. And last but not least, think about exercise, high-intensity interval training. I also love CrossFit. And for that, that's another way for us to breathe deeper daily. So I'm glad you mentioned intention because that's something that takes you to really sit down and, just like you said, unplug. And that's something that's going to take work for us all to do. But when you think about it, you'll make sure you can focus on doing it afterwards.
Well, explain, if you would, how yoga, for example. I'm thinking about somebody who's in a high-stress environment, both at work and at home, and they're listening to us talk today, and they're saying, yoga? Who's got time for yoga? What's yoga right. going to do for me anyway?
Well, I'll tell you, yoga can do a ton. Yoga and meditation, actually. And the funny thing is, you can do these in 15 minutes. In fact, even when I meditate, I try to do it within 15 minutes because I'm busy, I'm traveling as well. But don't forget that when you're performing yoga and you're doing breathing exercises and you're literally unplugging from the world, no one is allowed to interrupt you. Think about that. When do you have in your day a time where you're not going to get a text, you're not going to get a phone call, the kids don't want you to make dinner, something like that? When do you have that time in your day to really unplug and say, guess what? That is time just for you. So that's what yoga and meditation gives you. It gives your life back for that 15 minutes. And that 15 minutes, I promise you, will feel like an eternity when you do that because you have no idea how much you are plugged in all day with everything that we're all inundated with now. So it can make a big difference. So I know everyone's listening out there and saying, Doc, I'm too busy. I don't know how you do it. But you can afford 15 minutes for yourself. Not only are you affording 15 minutes for the relaxation, but once again, you're doing it for your health. Because we know that chronic stress can actually cause disease, whether it be heart disease, but it can also lead to cancer long-term as well. So it's worth 15 minutes of your day to keep yourself nice and healthy along the way.
Now, when you speak about the benefits of meditation, I just think about somebody whose mind is operating at 9,000 miles a minute.
Mm-hmm.
how does that person pull themselves out of that energy and that rat race, if you will, to calm down and focus and do something as soothing potentially as meditation? I could see that person getting even more stressed, trying to not be stressed.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But look, you have to sit down and you have to do your best. I'm going to tell you, when I started, your mind keeps going. So do not be alarmed or be put off by the fact that you're like, Doc, I get so many intrusive thoughts. But that's what it's about. It's about learning to hone in on those intrusive thoughts and be able to keep them out. But it takes a little bit of practice. And you can do that. But when you first get there, let me tell you, you're going to think about, you have to go home, you got to pick up the kids, you got to call your friend back. You're going to think of all those things. But that's what it's all about. Because at some point, you're going to all of a sudden feel quiet. You're going to just be. And when you're able to just feel that feeling, you're going to be not only proud of yourself, but you're going to realize that that 15 minutes just felt like 2 hours once you're able to kind of come back from that self-awareness that meditation can also provide as well. So it takes a little bit of practice, but you can do it. But you just have to be very persistent and realize those thoughts are normal. You know, it's funny. I mentioned Buddhist monks before because even they, now they'll meditate literally all day. And when they're meditating all day, they admit they get the intrusive thoughts as well, but they've trained their mind to be able to push them out. And so this is helping to train you for life so that when you get these intrusive things that happen or things at work or things with family, you're able to sit down for a second and keep the noise out. And that's what yoga and meditation is about. It's so wonderful when you really can make that a part of your life.
Now, I can imagine the type A person saying, okay, yoga, meditation, I need a yoga outfit, I need a yoga mat, meditation, I need a certain kind of pillow. Talk to that person.
Well, you're talking to me. I'll talk to myself then, because I am that type A person with a special pillow and a special mat as well. So I'll talk to you about myself, and it just takes time. But let me tell you, when you actually take control of your life, it makes a difference. Because obviously, there are things that come in my life as well that can definitely make me stressed, but I am learning how to actually back up and say, you know what, I have to figure out how I process that now. Can anything outside of me really make me stressed or anxious? And the answer is no. Only I can actually interpret that way. But it takes practice to get to that kind of force field so you know how you do it. But yes, on the type A side, you know, I have the pillow. I have those things that put me in that mood or in that zone. But if I can do it, I know all of my type Bs and all the other types can actually do it as well if I can.
So you don't have to get caught up in all the potential accessories that are certainly available for purchase.
No, not at all, because it's not necessary. You can meditate in your office. In fact, sometimes I do. I try to even see if I can get it in twice a day, but even in my office, sit down, phones turned off, and you just sit there and just give yourself a 15-minute break, and it makes such a big difference and impact on your day. But once again, it just takes some practice, and if you do that, it will be so worthwhile for everyone out there listening.
Now, you keep saying 15 minutes. Can somebody start at 5 minutes or a minute, or do you really want folks to try to start off at 15 minutes?
Well, I want them to try because it did two things when I figured out 15 minutes. Number one, I figured everyone had 15 minutes in their day. The second thing is if they do it for too short of a time, like a minute or 5 minutes, my worry there is that the intrusive thoughts come in and then everyone gives up. The third reason why I like 15 minutes is because when you realize that when you're able to think through that 15 minutes, whether the thoughts come in or not and it was perfect for you, you realize, you know what, 15 minutes is pretty darn long. I didn't realize that 15 minutes feels like it does to my body. And so that's the reason why I say I like that 15-minute zone. I mean, look, if we had time, I wish everyone could even dedicate 20 to 30. But I'm realistic, and we are all busy. But 15 minutes is something that I think is a realistic time for us to dedicate to ourselves and to our self-awareness.
Dr. Ken Red Cross is talking to us today about stress and the impact of stress on our physical and emotional health, as well as some tips, some ways that we can actually begin to reduce our stress right now. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will continue with Dr. Ken Red Cross. Dr. Red Cross, I'd like for you to sort of walk us through some of the ailments, some of the physical or emotional experiences that can be specifically impacted upon by the existence of chronic stress.
Oh, sure. These are ones that we all know and just didn't know is related to stress. I mean, we're talking, you know, feeling fatigue and not understanding, gosh, why am I so exhausted today than I normally am? The lack of energy. Headaches. Headaches are a common one as well. Headaches are something that everyone says, oh, I didn't have my coffee today or I didn't have my tea, and they think it's related to that. But, you know, it actually could be related to chronic stress as well, and it's quite common that you do see that. Sometimes people walk around and they may feel jittery or even a little irritable. Those are signs of stress and chronic stress. And so those are things that, as we really know that those are symptoms, we can actually say, gosh, maybe I didn't realize that maybe this new job is stressing me out, or maybe a situation at home needs to be discussed so that I can get rid of some of this anxiety and stress. But, you know, these are not normal feelings to feel fatigued all day and irritable. That's not something that that our bodies are accustomed to dealing with long term.
So is it reasonable for someone to, when they experience something that seems a little different, to go to a medical doctor to see if there's anything physical going on before they take a look at whether or not there's anything emotional going on, or how would you navigate that?
Well, first and foremost, the big key is to make sure that you have a physician that you feel like, and I always say your physician should feel like a member of your family. So you want to be able to reach out to your physician and be able to have a discussion and say, you know, I'm having a few symptoms. I feel a little fatigued, a little irritable and so forth, and I could be stressed. Is it something that we should maybe talk about? Because you could come into the doctor's office, and even if your doctor is like myself, an internist, or if someone's a family practice doctor, you could still sit down and let us know what's going on, because that could be impacting your health as well. You know, you may go in and have chest pain sometimes, which it doesn't have to be cardiac. But don't forget that stress and anxiety can make you feel as if you're having a heart attack sometimes. So it's important to make sure you have a good relationship with your doctor to actually be able to have some discussions around it as well. An important thing as well is thinking about your diet. When you come in and talk to me, it's funny, I have patients that come in and I say, so what sort of things are you eating so we can use to actually help your stress and anxiety? And they say, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean as far as what I'm eating? And, you know, a couple of the things that are important. Number one, I tell them about yogurt. See, yogurt has probiotics, and probiotics have the good bacteria that's important, because when our stress levels are low, guess what? We are more susceptible to disease and illness. So when you have something like a probiotic to help boost up your system, it's important to help you fight that, since most of our immune system is in the lining of our gut. But another food that I love to kind of surprise patients with are mushrooms. You know, mushrooms are probably one of the best medications that you can have in your body to help boost your immune system, because they do two important things. They actually increase your production of white blood cells, but not only that, it makes the white blood cells more active or aggressive, once again, to help fight infection. And you can actually consider doing something like adding mushrooms to omelets each and every morning, and to make sure that you get it, as I like to call it, as a breakfast booster. But if people really want to get the best benefits of medicinal mushrooms, you want to make sure you consider a supplement that's not only potent, but you want to make sure it's clinically researched and well-absorbed, because the absorption is the key to working. One of those actual supplements is AHCC. See, AHCC I love talking to patients about, because that actually was shown not only to boost the immune system, but it's also the number one immune supplement in Japan, because it also had anti-cancer properties as well, and is used in over 700 clinics throughout Asia. So when I talk to patients about AHCC and about the benefits of the medicinal mushroom, they are always so much in awe, saying, oh my gosh, something like a supplement like that can actually make a difference in my life, and it really and truly can. So I love for patients to realize that their diet also is important with their stress, whether it be AHCC or whether it be yogurt and probiotics. There's things out there that we can actually put into our bodies that are staying closer to the earth, that are beneficial, that do not require a prescription pad.
Okay, yogurt and mushrooms. So I can go out and eat a vat of frozen yogurt, and then when I'm finished with that, I can have a pizza loaded with mushrooms. Am I good?
Well, you're not good yet. Like I said, the good thing about AHCC, I should highlight, it has the precise mix of medicinal mushrooms that were shown in human clinical trials to be beneficial. So the key there is that we're talking human clinical trials there, and I love anything that is data proven. And a lot of other mushroom supplements don't have that human data. So when I mention HCC, that is the way to really make sure that you get the precise amount, because you're right. It's tough to eat 1,500 mushroom omelets a day, but it's something that you can still add to your diet and can still make a difference over the long term. So it's something to consider. So not only HCC or probiotics, but we also want to talk about oats and barley. Now, barley is kind of that forgotten grain, but barley can be eaten just like oatmeal. You can eat it in milk or cinnamon and that sort of thing. So it can be beneficial. And oats and barley both have beta-glucan. Now, beta-glucan is a type of fiber that's been shown not only to be antimicrobial, but it also has antioxidant benefits as well, which, once again, boosts the immunity. So we've talked about three things there that we can get in our diet that can actually boost our immunity when our immune system is depressed by stress and anxiety. And these are things that we can have in our cupboards and our refrigerators.
So I'm going to let go of the pizza with the mushrooms on it, but I'm still holding on tight to my frozen yogurt. Can I do that?
You can do that. I'll give you that. We'll negotiate.
Okay.
That's okay. We'll negotiate for that. You got to have a little bit of negotiation to make everything work.
When going back to our conversation about some of the things that may feel physical, but in fact can have a stress-related at least impact or flavor going through it, things like backache and sleep mm-hmm. disturbances.
Sure.
Stress in there?
No, absolutely. And in fact, what happens is, I mean, I think everyone's heard about the fight or flight response, right? We have adrenaline, we have epinephrine, we have things in our body that when we're trying to get away, it's just a high straight stress, it lets us know this is the time to run, this is the time to jump, this is the time to get away. All those hormones are always in our body, and so our body gets almost in a state of flight, or also the state to get away from these things. And when you do that, guess what's revving up? Your heart, your muscles, things that shouldn't be revving up all day long. And so that's why it's important to figure out with some of the things that we talked about, how are you going to manage your stress? Are we going to do it with the breakfast boosters, with the things we talked about? Are we going to breathe deeper daily? Or are we going to consider clearing the clutter? That's another thing that we didn't get a chance to touch upon, is that we all have so much clutter. I don't know about you guys, but some of the days that are a little more challenging is when I look at my desk and I have paper strewn everywhere. And so studies show that if you could clear the clutter, guess what? You could also decrease the stress and increase your productivity. So I actually carry a little list with me, and it's the list that I have on a dry erase board. I wish everyone out there listening could see my board, because I get the board and I organize it into urgent, important, and non-urgent, because the night before I can look at all the things I need to have done and I can put those in those categories so that when I wake up the next morning, guess what? I can hit the ground running. So I get up in the morning, I see what's urgent, I get that done, and there is nothing better than actually checking that box off that I actually got something done for the day that I needed to get done. And so that's another part of decreasing the stress, because we get back to, we're saying we're all so busy, we're all unplugged. We're all also dealing with a lot of clutter, whether it be home or work. So that's another way to actually battle your stress each and every day.
I would think that for those who are able to realistically come up with those sort of guidelines for themselves, urgent, non-urgent, and important, for example, mm-hmm. that when they wake up that morning, they've done this the night before, can almost wake up feeling less stressed because they kind of know what the day will bring for them.
You hit the nail right on the head, and there is nothing better than that feeling. Let me tell you, please do that. Do that for tomorrow, everyone listening, and feel the excitement from checking that box and saying, oh, my gosh, I got these things done. I have three things on my list. They all were done, because sometimes you'll look at that non-important category, and you'll realize you're focusing all your activity on something that you've already deemed non-important. But yeah, you have all these urgent boxes that you haven't even addressed yet. So it kind of helps get your brain in order so that you're focusing on those things that are going to bring you the most happiness. You know, I always talk to patients about what happiness is. For me, I think that that's the pursuit of why we're all here. We're all here to find our happiness and how we can do that in the most stress-free way. And if we focus on those things, that brings happiness to clear that clutter and make sure that you're focusing on the things that are going to make you productive and is also going to make you happy.
So for the folks who say, okay, I'll do my list, and my list of urgent things, that's only got 25 things on it. And okay. And my list of non-urgent, well, that may have 40, but they're non-urgent.
Right.
Talk to that person.
Well, that person needs to realize that all of those urgent things don't need to be done tomorrow. There are a certain list of urgent things that are going to be those that are important to get you through the next day, to get you through the next day, to your next project. So you'll have to realize that you'll look at your urgent list, and then when you really drill down, you're going to realize that some of those things on your urgent list are actually important, but not urgent. So they're important. They could be done a little bit later, but when you really get to that urgent stuff, because the urgent issues or items are the ones that really impact your day. If you realize, like, for instance, for me, if you could see my list on my urgent list today, was you, Dr. Brewer, because I had to make sure that I was going to be ready to talk to you and the listeners and say hello. What if I was focusing on feeding my cat, which is important, but it's not urgent? Then I wouldn't be able to be here with you today and to be able to hopefully impart some wonderful information to all the listeners. So that's what I mean. When you drill down on your list, you realize some things are important, but they're really not that urgent.
So maybe if folks, as they're thinking about these lists that you recommend we all create, it's somewhere between 1 to 3, maybe 1 to 5 things, period, end of story, on the urgent list.
Yeah.
Is that reasonable?
I usually put 3. It is.
Okay.
It's very reasonable. In fact, I usually say 3.
Okay.
So I usually say there are 3 things that, today is, Wednesday, so tomorrow, I shouldn't have more than 3 things tomorrow that are really urgent, that just have to get done by tomorrow. And then you'll see your important list is a little bit longer, and then your non-important gets a little bit longer, but guess what? That's why it's in the non-important category. So that's where it belongs. So that lets you know that you're doing this thing right. And then I'll carry them over to the next day, and then you'll see that your non-important list starts to get kind of ticked off, you know, checked off as well. But the key is that you're doing it in the right time and focusing on those things that are going to bring you happiness, which means getting rid of those things that are going to impact you if you don't get them done urgently.
Gotcha. Let's talk a little bit more about some of those perhaps physical ailments that we really don't think have a connection to our stress levels. What about high blood pressure? I think we kind of think that that may have an impact, but what about high blood pressure? What about colds? What about infectious diseases? Is stress anywhere in those areas?
No, it absolutely is, and it gets back to those breakfast boosters when we were joking around about AHCC and the mushrooms and the probiotics, because when we're dealing with the stress, all of those things bring down your immune system. They reduce the benefits of your immune system to fight infection when it sees it. So those things are there to boost that up, and the good thing is all of those things we talked about, down from the AHCC, the probiotics, the oats and barley, all of them have been shown to boost your immunity in some way, shape, or form. So those are things that are there for the infectious disease side of things. Now, to your other point, when you're talking about whether you're talking about an upset stomach or GI distress or actual pain and so forth, those are those chemicals that I told you about that are circulating everywhere that we have to bring down. And if we can do that either with breakfast boosters, clearing the clutter, or breathing deeper daily, it makes a huge impact. You know, something else that patients will talk to me about, especially during the holiday season, and this is tough for me because the holiday season, especially as an only child, is my favorite time of year. But it's also a time of year when people are down. People are depressed. And some people just blame it on the fact of, well, you know, I always get down and that kind of thing. But they never think stress. The stress of the holiday is actually making them feel down. So whenever you feel that something is awry, something is amiss in your body or in your life, you have to sit down, unplug, and realize, is my life exactly where I want it to be right now? Is my life something that is really stressful? Is it something or someone that shouldn't be in my life at this point that causes stress or anxiety? Or somebody that should be in my life that can help me support it? So this is a time when you sit down and don't think that every physical manifestation or symptom is necessarily some horrible disease that you're going to be diagnosed with. Some of it is just stress and anxiety that needs to really be teased out that with your medical professional and see where we can go with that.
And, you know, certainly there are many people who get so stressed about going to the doctor, any kind of doctor, that they avoid going because they know they're going to hear bad news and they don't want to hear it. And so they just the stress builds up, and it sounds like the immune system suffers enormously. So by the time they get to the doctor, if they do, things are actually more complicated.
No, they are. And, you know, I always tell patients that I don't give bad news. I tell every single patient, I do not give bad news. So you don't ever have to be afraid to see me, because even if we're dealing with the diagnosis, I'll say, look, there's some diagnoses that may be a challenge and that we have to tweak, but I don't give bad news, because as we deal with some of the things that may be a disease, diabetes or heart failure, guess what? We have some things that we can use to make life better. But if you don't come into the office and see your doctor and have that discussion, we can't do anything. So I don't believe in bad news, and I always tell patients that we're always able to do something that can make the situation better.
Okay, a doctor who doesn't give bad news, you must have patients out of the door.
Well, it's important to me. Look, everything is always positive. I don't believe in bad news. I don't believe in negativity.
Talk about aging. Is it possible that after years of chronic stress that you can actually age more rapidly or in a different way, or is there no connection?
Nope, absolutely. Absolutely you can. And in fact, it affects our genes. You guys all remember, I don't know, it doesn't matter what field you're in, we're all at some point had to get some health class, whatever, about our genes and the importance of the DNA. And so the DNA is affected. The DNA is affected by our stress levels. And in fact, medicine is heading that way to be more designer drugs. So we're able to get to the point where we can maybe have our own DNA sequenced and actually figure out medications that are perfect for me, Dr. Red Cross, or perfect for yourself or anyone out there listening. So the importance of your DNA being affected by stress, of beating up your DNA for years, is very important to how long we live and how important and powerful our lives are, I should say, over time as well. So as we get older, we've been through a lot of stress. We've put our bodies through a lot of physical stress and mental stress as well. So as we get older, it can be a little more challenging, which is even why it's even more important to consider some of the techniques we talked today, because the good thing is all the things we talked about today are great for every age group.
It sounds like you're really very excited about the push towards more targeted medication for folks.
Oh, no, absolutely, because you're trying to get something that is a little more streamlined. Now, you know, you'll have patients that, and like I said, I don't like to beat up on pharma, because pharma does a lot of beautiful and wonderful things for us. I just like to make sure that we're joining forces, in other words. And so when you talk about designer drugs, I always think of them being less side effect prone, for instance, because, you know, we kind of do a one size fits all, because it's what we have. And until we're ready to have that designer drug, we deal with what we have. But when I think about that sort of medicine, I am extremely excited, because who wouldn't want something that's tailor-made for them to make them healthy and whole, I like to say, especially when you're dealing with things such as diabetes and cancer in the future. I'm very encouraged about where we're headed as a medical community.
That's really exciting, I think, for a lot of folks to hear, because, you know, so many things pop up in the news, and certainly nowadays you don't know if it's real news or fake news or what it is.
Yeah, unfortunately. And you're right. And I think if as everyone continues to hear about some of these medical breakthroughs that we see and these vaccines that we haven't had before, like for shingles. Shingles used to lead to so much disability before. And now we have a vaccine for it. It's something you never, ever thought you'd see. So, you know, if you really look out into medicine and where we're going, you'll see that there are these small wins that we're having. And then we keep going to when it's bigger and bigger, until one day our life expectancy will probably be into the 90s. Right now, it's up to like 78 for men and even sometimes a little older than women, depending on the background and so forth. So we're already living longer than our grandparents and then our great-grandparents, and we're seeing that in healthcare. So it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Dr. Red Cross, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'd like to focus, really hone in on all the stress management techniques that you like to talk about.
Oh, I would love to.
Folks, this is Pamela Brewer. You're listening to Mind Talk. We'll be right back. Dr. Redcross, I know you talk about the value of deep breathing, but I would suggest that you and I both know that people tend to take pretty shallow breaths. So
right.
when you just sort of naturally do shallow breathing. So when you say deep breathing, can you walk us through what precisely you mean?
So when I say deep breathing, I'm talking seated, if possible, or even on the floor. Actually just sitting there and taking a breath from the diaphragm. The diaphragm's a little muscle under our rib cage. So I want you to breathe as deep as you can up so that your whole rib cage is up and expanded, I'd say, and then literally blowing out as slowly as you can. And as you're thinking, I want you to do your best to think about nothing. And the funny thing is everyone out there will understand and realize how difficult that is. To think about nothing. In fact, it depends on how you meditate, but some of those who meditate and the gurus talk about you want to imagine a little bit of a burning right into the chest cavity, as if there is a light in the cavity that you're actually focusing on as you're actually focusing on the meditation. So as you're meditating and doing that sort of thing, as you're deep breathing, it's an important exercise that you want to have, but you want to make sure that you're breathing deep and you're breathing slowly. So you want to make sure that your breath is going out as slowly as possible.
And is there a preferred length of time, or can I just do this for a minute and go?
No. As far as the meditation and the breathing, that goes with the meditation. Yoga's a little different because you're a little more active with yoga. Yoga, you're getting into certain positions, which, once again, it's like an exercise and a relaxation technique. But with meditation, it's different. You want to be still. You want to be as still as you can. You want to feel like you're almost with nature at that point. So as you're taking in that deep breath, you want it to be the deepest breath you've ever taken, and you want it to be as slow, I mean painstakingly slow, so that you can actually feel. And you'll start to realize certain things in your body. You mentioned blood pressure before. You know, they've done studies where there's been actual those who are, once again, meditation gurus who are actually able to change their heart rate. And actually able to change their blood pressure with intention and focusing on deep breathing exercises. So these are things that are proven in studies. And it's so funny because in the 80s and so forth, when everything was funny as far as yoga and that you're crazy to do yoga, that looks so funny. And now we're realizing that this stuff is very important for our body and for our mental health, actually.
Not so crazy after all.
Exactly.
You also talk about focusing on the moment. So the language that I think we would both use is sort of mindful breathing or mindful, being mindful. When you say focus on the moment, what exactly do you mean?
Yeah, at that particular moment, I want you to realize, I like to make an analogy for almost looking 30,000 feet in the air as if you're looking down on yourself. And really looking down on yourself and wondering, like, almost as if you're kind of a pawn in a play of, like, where am I headed next? Why am I here at this particular moment at this particular time? Because it has to be a purpose, right? Because nothing is ever done without a purpose. And every single situation that we have control over. And I think if we realize and think about it that way, for intention, why am I here now? Why am I here today? Why am I here talking to everyone today? Because I hope that some listener out there will say, you know what, I heard this doctor on the radio, and gosh, he talked about breakfast boosters. He told me how to clear the clutter. He told me how to breathe deeper daily. I'm going to try what this doctor says. And so that's the reason why I'm here today talking to everyone. And so everyone who's listening needs to figure out, why are they hearing me today? So that's making sure that you're realizing that, what is the intention? What is it all about? And if you figure out and you think that way, it could be so much more impactful in how we all live our days and our nights.
The idea of reframing the situation, that can be, from my perspective as a mental health person, that can be a bit of a sticky wicket. Talk about what you mean when you say reframe the situation.
Well, because, for instance, when I talk about things that come out, look, every day we're in life, there's always something being thrown at us. We love to have the positive things thrown at us, but we get negative things that are thrown at us as well. And once again, it's how we process it. It's how we process negativity. So if someone throws something at you and it's a friend or a family member, maybe that is something that is supposed to be there today for you to reflect. Maybe the reflection is, well, maybe this person isn't the type of friend I need in my life. Maybe this person is not supportive as they should be. These are things that you need to say, well, you know, thank you for that argument. Thank you for allowing me to go through this pain. And it's weird to say thank you for some of the pain that I go through, but sometimes we need that sort of thing in life for us to grow. And so you look at each and every situation like that, you start to feel really empowered with what you're able to do each and every day. And so if you realize you can reframe things that happen and that are hurled at you throughout life, it makes your life so much easier and much more fruitful throughout the day.
So for those folks who find themselves engaged in road rage, for example, and we're always hearing about horrific things that happen, and it's
right.
really about, you know, in large measure driven by one or two people who just lost it in a car, how would you reframe the situation if you're stuck in traffic and you are 20 minutes late for a very important interview, but the traffic is such that you're going to be an hour late?
Well, two things. Number one, the first thing is you're already late. This is the easy part here. You're already late, and guess what? Getting there 20 minutes late or 23 minutes late is not going to change the situation. The second thing is when you're dealing with road rage or in situations or circumstances like that, what is it really going to add to your life for that moment, right? So you get there, you get mad at this person yells at you and so forth. What did it really accomplish? What did it do to actually make you feel better inside? And so, look, I am in New York City, so I am the king of how you deal with road rage, okay? So when you're dealing with the road rage and so forth, number one, you just almost look at that person and you look at them as if to say, thank you. And they look at you, you're not cursing back, you're not throwing obscene gestures, you're not doing any of that stuff. You're looking at them almost as if they are the ones with the problem. And then you just keep going, you just keep going forward with that because there is no impact. And when you're thinking about someone who, especially nowadays, we live in a much different world. So as you're thinking about road rage and those people, you have to realize, what do I have to lose? Because that other person in that car may not have a lot to lose in their mind and therefore are willing to do whatever it takes to let you know that they're upset. So that's, once again, when you have to really look at your intention. And if your intention is to be happy and to go through this day as a happy and productive person, it's not going to be furthered by arguing with someone on a road over cutting them off on a highway. It just isn't worth it at the end of the day.
So it sounds like you want us to really focus on ourselves, put ourselves first in that instance, and take good care. Be mindful.
You have to. And look, this takes practice as well. Like I said, here in New York City, it's a daily thing for me. But I'm very proud because I am able to deal with it now. And everyone out there listening can as well. If you really focus on some of the things that we're talking about, what is your intention? Your intention for the day is not to argue with somebody who just cut you off on the highway. That's not your intention. You have much bigger things you're supposed to be doing in this world. And it's not arguing with someone in a motor vehicle. It just isn't. You have bigger things you need to do. You need to be concerned about, like making your family happy, making yourself happy. Focus on those things.
So the idea of reframing a situation that you're in, is that a piece of focusing on the moment, or would you say that that's something different?
No, it's absolutely staying in the moment. Because if we continue to stay in the moment, each time you kind of put those moments together, the next thing you know, you have a couple of hours, you have 3 or 4 hours, the next thing you know, you're getting home for the day, and you're like, oh my gosh, I fought life, I fought the day, and I won. And then you start to put more and more wins together, and the next thing you know, all of a sudden your week gets better, your month gets better, you get the promotion, you get all these things, because I am a firm believer that when all of this positivity is going, it's like it's almost as if the universe just opens up for you and opportunities come and things happen. But it can't if you're negative and if you're angry. You can't grow with anger and negativity. It's just not the way it works.
No, it tends to shrink you and shrink your life.
It really and truly does. Well said.
You have mentioned a couple of times, so I want to come back to that, the idea that it's important to look at perhaps the people in your life. Maybe there is a relationship or a person in your life that is adding to your stress. Say more about that.
Yeah, that's important, and this is challenging, right? Because we'll have people or friends that we've grown up with, and at certain stages in our life, they were wonderful friends to have there with you. But then sometimes some friends are not necessarily as motivated as you. Some friends, unfortunately, can be a little envious of you or where you are in your life. And so, you know, as we go through different stages, we are different people. We are constantly evolving. And so when you want to have growth, it's nice to have people who want to grow around you. And so some of the difficult decisions are to realize that, you know, there's always one of my friends who is never, ever happy when something good happens for me or when I get a promotion or when something happens at work. They always let me know that, well, okay, it could happen, but, you know, something else can happen. And those are people that you may have to say, you know, maybe I shouldn't spend as much time fostering that relationship right now because it doesn't help me grow. And that's the big key when you talk about your relationships. Any relationship that you're in, especially with your friends, should be something that you feel like you're growing with, and that you can be inspired by them as well, that's really nice and close to you. So when you're thinking about your friendships and your relationships, make sure that there's some benefit in that for you. And I don't mean a financial gain. I mean a benefit spiritually for you to say, gosh, you know, I would love to be where Jimmy is or where Donna is, and I'd love to be there at some point. How did they do that? And that's how you keep your mind going, and that's how you keep your energy and passion going. And so that's why I say it's important to every so often reassess who's in your life. Is that why you're not growing? Because you're with a whole bunch of people who believe that whatever you want to happen can't happen, and that's bringing all your energy down. So, you know, it's important to kind of reassess the situation around you as well that you're able to control.
And, you know, I would add to that, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, it's what brings a lot of folks into my office is the realization that they've got a whole crew of people who may not be serving their best purpose. But, you know, if that somebody is a family member, that can add to stress. And depending on how you deal with stress, that can add to drinking. It can add drinking more than you need to. If you feel like you need to drink, that's the problem already. Or eating more than you need to. So while we are both saying that it is critical that you assess the quality of relationships that you have, I think we would also both agree that even that can be stressful. But you have to look at the long-term gain from that.
No, you do. And when we deal with our families, and once again, especially around the holiday season, when everyone's coming together and you're getting all these wonderful personalities trying to meld together and have a good time. And so, yeah, those could be other challenging times as well. But when you think about family, for me, and you're trying to deal with some of those hurdles that happen, that's when it all comes back to love. It all comes back to what is the purpose of family. And family is supposed to be about love and togetherness. And so you try to realize that you have to love that relative or that's really causing a little bit of stress or anxiety because they only probably want the best for you, more so than even some friends and so forth. So you have to love people for who they are and kind of deal with the cards that you've been dealt. But if you come from an angle of love and happiness, it makes it so much easier to understand that person and deal with the actual circumstances that you're trying to battle through.
One of the other things that is often important in terms of stress reduction is really setting limits in terms of who you're letting in your life and not, setting limits around how much time you're going to expend here or there. Limit setting for many people sounds like a dirty word, but it's actually a very healthy concept.
Oh, it is. It is. And you have to do that. Once again, as we talk about these three approaches that I talked about for stress, it's planning. It's planning how you do exactly what you said, how you figure out, well, how am I going to limit? Is this person going to be someone that's going to be good for me going forward? So, yeah, you have to plan with that. You know, it's funny how life is because life is so simple. We make it difficult. And if you think about it with that particular approach, it makes it a little bit easier to realize, like, oh, no, I don't think I need to bring that person into my inner circle. I just don't think it's going to be good for me long term. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to be right because your gut tells you something for a reason.
Indeed. And, you know, planning is a very interesting concept because if you're really planning, you think about not only the holidays, but it may be the anniversary of an eventful moment in your life or in the life of somebody you care about. You know, it could be Tuesday at 3. Doesn't have to necessarily be a holiday. But if you know that this is a powerful moment in your life, that it brings up a lot of difficulties or at least feelings for you, maybe that's another moment that you want to plan for.
Yeah, no, definitely. Each and every year, you know, we have people that we may lose around the season, the holiday season, and it's always a constant reminder when someone is missing from the family gathering. And so if you know that, you know, maybe it's time to sit down and talk about how wonderful that person was in your life and look at it as more of a celebratory thing as something to really get sad about. If you know each and every year this is something that's going to conjure up some emotion that was very sad for you in the past.
You have been talking about the impact of stress and also stress techniques, certainly. And the techniques, deep breathing, being in the moment, really focusing on what's true right now. It's clear that adults can certainly do that. But, you know, there are also actually schools that I'm hearing about that are teaching yoga to children. And so for those with little children in their lives, how do you go about teaching a child mindfulness? Or do you? Do you do something different with a child?
Well, you do something a little bit different. You're right. Right now, you go to some of the gyms, and, you know, it's funny. My kids, you know, they're doing a little bit of CrossFit, which I told you I love to do as well. And there are a lot of studios that are doing little kid yoga. And while it may look like they're playing around and so forth, it's something that the kids can expend energy with. And that's the way kids tend to improve as far as their stress. I typically see that, you know, when they're active and they're using their muscles and they're screaming and having a good time, that's another stress relief, especially for children. And so while the mindfulness may be something that's a little bit challenging, when you get to a certain age, you can explain to that child the importance of, you know, why don't you go in your room, no iPad, no computer, and just sit there and just think about your day. Think about what makes you happy. And it's so funny because you'd be surprised that some kids come from that. Some, you may go back in the room and they're asleep or what have you, and that's okay too because at least they're not dialed in. But, you know, you start at a young age, and you start to let them understand, like, look, this is your time. What can you do? And you're right. It's not 15 minutes for them. You just try to get 5 minutes out of them if you can. But even still, you just start to try to focus on those things that are not plugged in. And that's the way, that really helps the stress for you when you deal with the younger population.
Dr. Red Cross, how do people follow you and the work that you're doing?
Oh, by all means. So my website is drredcross.com. And a lot of people reach out to me on Twitter, which my handle is at Dr. Red Cross, and Facebook is Ken Red Cross MD.
All right, so there are lots of ways to follow what you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us today and really walking us through the physical impacts of stress and the emotional impacts of stress as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And folks, thank you for joining us today on this edition of Mind Talk. Mind Talk is brought to you daily as an educational public service. It is not intended to replace any work that you might choose to do with a licensed medical, mental health, or other professional. Mind Talk is produced by Jim Brown and 26x2. Mind Talk is produced by Jim Brown and 26x2 Communications. If you'd like to be in touch with me directly, you can always send an email to Pamela, P-A-M-E-L-A, at mindtalk.org. That's MYNDTALK.ORG. And remember, Mind Talk is available on demand 24/7. You can always go to the mindtalk.org website, or you can download the Mind Talk app from the iTunes store. Thank you again for joining us. And remember always, if it's unacceptable, then it's unacceptable. You take care.